open the eye of our understanding, God. Feed us from your word today. Give us the word of life, Lord. Let the entrance of your word, let it bring understanding to the simple. Let it bring life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Children, you can go to your churches. Praise the Lord. Amen. See the Lord. Wow. You know, this is a period when you go, was it Moses that said, Lord, open their eyes that I may see that those that are with us are greater than those, right? So the Lord, and they saw angels. I quite frankly hope there are angels filling all of these seats right now, because there ain't a lot of us there. But praise the Lord. We thank God for bringing us through another week and giving to us the grace by his word. As I was praying, I had a little crisis, personal crisis, as I was thinking about what to speak about this week. Because I was praying that the Lord will help us to speak to something, as always, that is relevant to all of us. That we lay in our hearts something that we can go home with. Some encouragement in the spirit for each and every one of us. And the word of God is filled with it. And I pray you prepare your heart to see, to hear what the Father has for us. But first, on Friday, we were praying. And we made an observation that we're getting cold in New Covenant Church. The zeal is slowing down. There's something happening, and I figure it may not just be New Covenant Church. It may be that in Christendom in general, except for some exemptions here and there are some pockets of grace. The tone and the tenor of the faith has changed. There's crisis within and crisis without. There's doctrinal crisis. There's political crisis. There are just a lot of challenges. You know, you hear older Christians speak, and it's amazing, they speak nostalgically about the olden days. I was on a call 2 weeks ago, and someone was giving a testimony how his wife, being the daughter of a tremendously rich man in Nigeria, a very important personality while they were growing up, how this girl would get on the bus on Molwe, the most public of public transports. You know, there are different levels of public transport, even in the, I don't know why they call us the third world, we're in the same world. You know, and this child, apparently, they're having private drivers at home, official drivers at home, people that could take them places, would choose at some point in our life to get on the most public of public transport and preach. But what occurred to me is, Lord, what has changed? Sunday services are drying out. Prayer is drying out. There just seems to be a loss somewhere. And when the older, wiser people speak, even in them, I see that they only speak in retrospect. Even the older people we cite only speak retrospectively. They cast glances at the good old days. I think we sang a song that says, God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What he was yesterday, he is today. And I mean, it's very easy to look outside, like we've said several times in this church, and see what is happening to churches around us. What is very difficult is to look inside and see what is happening to our church. It's easy to talk about titan, to talk about worldliness, to talk about all of these things. But if this searchlight was to point very well, not just at church, but in our individual lives, I'm sure they will have enough that we need repenting and we need fearful prayer towards as we wait for Jesus to come anytime. And that's the important thing. God is the judge of all men. The Bible that Paul was citing to his people, he said, look, when I say you're the judge, you should judge. I'm not saying you should judge the world. But if you can't judge within yourselves, do you know that you will judge angels? And we were rejoicing on Friday because we know the grace of God. The grace of God that is most prominent when we speak is actually that grace that makes things, that brings miracle, that brings deliverance. You know, the grace that we enjoy, the grace that things are working out well. But the mighty grace of God is even the grace to realize our ways and to turn back to God. For a sinner to turn back unto his God is a big grace. Because many people will slide away and they will not even know. Most people are not conscious of the times. So that God is saying to us that, look within. Do not lose your first love. Don't go cold on me. In Revelations chapter 3, John wrote about a church. The Lord himself spoke about a church that has lost its first love. It's neither hot nor cold. If I dig my finger into you, it doesn't burn me. It doesn't chill me. You are just there. And the Lord said, no. I don't know what to do with this kind of attitude in Christianity. So let us pray. Let us pray that the Lord will keep us, that the Lord will preserve us, that we'll be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let us pray that we'll find this grace to help in the time of need. Let us not sleep. Let us not, as some do, let us not slumber. Let us be sure that we can say that where we are today and where we are 10 years ago, we've moved forward a bit. And it takes the grace of God. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ warned us when he said that the journey, the road is very narrow and the gate is very crooked that leads to life. But the easier road, the broad street, the tarred road, the wide road, the fancy gate, they almost always will lead to perdition and destruction. So that was what was on my heart. Then I began to think whether this experience was peculiar to us. You know, I began to appreciate why the Christian journey is most of the time referred to as a long journey and a marathon rather than a sprint, or like fighting a battle. And I just want to share with you something that Paul the Apostle said. Because we are different faces. Most of the time we find that we are weary when we come across temptations and trials. When Satan finally pays attention to us. And this experience cuts across every Christian, almost all Christian testimonies have to one degree or the other this particular experience, at least from what I've seen in scriptures. Where when we read the headlines, you go, David became king. But when you begin to read the details, from being called, from slaying the Goliath to becoming king, the man's life was very trying. The headline we say, this child called Joseph is destined to have the sun and the moon, 12 stars and the moon bow down before him. But when we go into the details, I don't think that vision showed him that he would be thrown into a pit, sold into slavery before he becomes a prime minister. And he was. What Abraham had was, come out, I will make you a great nation. I will show you the land I will give to you and your inheritance. If he knew that, I don't think it included the detail that his wife would be barren, that one son will hate. Am I talking about the right person? One wife will hate another wife. One child will hate another child. That he would not even own a landed property in the land, that even he will never lay claim to that land, and that promise was to come in the days of his children. That detail was lost when we were told that, behold, we should come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will give us peace. He will guide us through the valleys. He will give his angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot upon the rock. That when we trust in him, he will guard our hearts up. And behold, we inherit a kingdom from above. That will help wipe away every tear. I think we should have asked, does that mean there will be tears? But we bless the Lord. And it comforts me to know all these trying times are part of the Christian experience. It's comforting to me when I think of David, think of Solomon, who summarized his tremendous wealth. And God gives us Bible examples from different facets of life. We have people who were kings, people who were not kings. A woman who was a prostitute, some born into poverty. We had a Hulk Hogan in Samson, a man who was strong physically. We have people who were weak in their countenance, like Paul described himself. We had beautiful people like Esther who made it into the king's palace, right? We had people, the greatest example of all, upon whom there was no comeliness, nothing by which men may be drawn to him in terms of physical appearance. So all of that by picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have seen in magazines, Christ didn't look like that if that prophecy came to pass. The Lord wasn't the man that you wanted to rally around because he had blue eyes and long hair. Christians from every facet, from every kind of life that God has put his children in the Bible, he gives us an example regarding them. We have very spiritual people. We have doubting Thomases. All of them. So no matter where we are this morning, no matter our experiences, the word of encouragement from the Lord is that things are going according to plan. Just trust in me. Just trust in me. Let's open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read from verse 6. And just a few verses. From verse 3. Actually, let's just start from verse 1. I just want to encourage our hearts. As life happens, we tend to get discouraged. If you're praying for a long time, after a while, you start getting tired of praying. You start actually thinking maybe prayer does not work. But it is not so. Jesus yesterday, today, and forevermore. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1, we do not lose heart. If you don't mind, as we read, I want to break this down so that we speak in the words of Paul and try to identify where in our life experiences we can relate. For we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Christ's sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine in darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. May the light of the knowledge of the glory of God ever be before us in Jesus' name. But all of these things, everything that Paul just said up until now, you and I are partakers of it. Each one of us, hopefully here, can testify to how God has used them, to some personal experiences of the Lord, especially to the day when God separated you in Christ Jesus to his glory. When you renounced the hidden things of shame, and you said you were going to be a Christian, and people started calling you a Christian. When we came out of the world, then in 7, it reminded us something that I think we know by experience, but let's admit it. And let's acknowledge that if it was so for Paul, let's stop wondering why it is so for us as well. Verse 7, he said, "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." This promise of salvation, this great hope that we bear in Christ our Redeemer, the hope of joy, of peace. In John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled." And right after that, they started persecuting his disciples. And they were running away from Jerusalem a few years after that. Yet, all of those promises, Paul here says, they are in jars of clay. Why? Because God is doing something in us, through us, that the excellence of the power may not be ours, but his. Paul said, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed." New Covenant Church, I just want to ask you, what is your Christian testimony? If you are going to be honest, unfortunately, many of our preachers today are not honest with us. Many of the people whose books we read are hardly honest with us. They tell us only the headlines, the highlights. But Paul here is being brutally honest. We are hard-pressed on every side. The only thing is that we're not crushed. What's your testimony? I think we have been together for long enough for me to say, for a lot of us in this church, you have been hard-pressed. And I think we've been enough to testify to the faithfulness of God that we have never been crushed. Hallelujah. We have been through a lot. There's been impossible situations, immigration situations, health situations, and we're here. Hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed we are, but we do not despair. Do you relate to that? Paul, the apostle, here is saying, "I have seen things. I have been perplexed. I have been at my wit's end. But there's a greater hand always holding me. I do not despair." Just at the point when I'm about to despair, I can testify to that. I can testify to God's deliverance at the nick of time. And I wonder, Lord, why don't you do it early so I could continue in confidence? He said, it's because the excellence of the power, even you have to know that it's not you. Unless I bring you to your wit's end, you will not know. Because the excellence of that power, you cannot say it's because I prayed. Because then those that prayed and it did not happen for them that way, we think they're doing something wrong. I want you to pray till you can pray no more. Luke chapter 18 from verse 1 to 6 tells the story of the persistent woman. And I wonder, and that shows us an insight into the workings of God again. You see, this, according to the details behind the headlines in the Bible, they give me hope, and I hope they give hope to you. I like to read behind the line, or between the lines, like they say. Actually, I like to read behind them. I want to see the frame of mind of the writer. When the Lord, before a single persecution to his disciples, says, for this reason shall a man pray without ceasing. And without solicitation, because the people he was speaking to, by then, at least as far as we know, they had not known the trial that they were to know later. But he was preparing them even then, as he prepares us now. Said there was a widow who kept appealing to a king. And the king would just not answer this widow. Luke 18. But this widow did not give up. Then the king, wicked king, a secular king, said, look, just so you stop bothering me, it is within my power to give you what you want. You can have what you want. And the Lord made an observation. If a wicked king can do this, how much more our Father to answer right quickly those who diligently wait on him like that? And the Lord sets in motion the rule that we must observe, that a man ought to pray and not to. There's no other method but to continue to pray. There's always the danger, brethren. And Saul had a choice. I pray God gives you no choice but to get deliverance from prayer. Because ultimately, it's not the deliverance. The deliverance matters in encouraging us. But it's the fact that you can witness that God has worked in your situation. It's the faith, that patience, that it works out. That is what God really wants to bring out of every trial in our lives. Very few people will be able to pray through a situation. So the Lord said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Hypothetical. For the Lord, I don't even think it was hypothetical. I think the Lord looked forward and he saw how few there will be that will be able to endure what you're going through today and remain faithful to Jesus and receive the reward at the end of the road. For this reason shall a man pray and not faint. So for the apostle, he said, we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. And I think my best Christian stories are stories of missionaries. Stories of people who left their comfort zones to preach the gospel somewhere else. And I read a lot of those missionary stories. Because to me, they are just incredible stories. They are living scriptures. The things they go through, some of them, it's not like in these days when we can go on mission and there's a supporting church. Those are days when, number one, to get to where you're going takes 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Likely a few of you will die in the course of the of transportation. To get to cross the Atlantic, or in some cases the Pacific, was very dangerous. And once you get there, the chances are that what they call reprieve. You may get supplies, no matter what you brought. Your supplies may come maybe once every 6 years. There are missionaries in the Pacific, Southern Pacific, that were forgotten there. No ship ever just turned up again. And they knew it. Suffer persecution, and they always testify that they are not forsaken. St- struck down, but not destroyed. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. I pray that the Lord will give to us the strength. You know, compared to some of the things that I read in scriptures, our afflictions are called momentary light afflictions. But thank God, He never gives us more than we can bear. What is at stake is whether we will continue to be faithful to the Lord in the light of it. So I just encourage everybody today. Please do not be discouraged. It says, do not count it strange when you fall into these diverse temptations. Let us encourage one another so that we will not grow faint in heart and forget. There's a solution coming. Let's open our Bibles quickly to Hebrews 11, that famous Hebrews 11. And explore very quickly the life of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Are we remaining in faith? It's hard. It's hard when you're praying and it's not yet come to pass. But it will come to pass. The Lord will hear us. The evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. Brethren, there's sight and there's faith. But the righteous will always live by faith. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs chapter 3, from verse 5. With all your heart, all your mind, with all your heart, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. The Bible does not ask for the strong. He does not ask for the wise. He asks for people who will be people of faith. Against all odds, every Christian will face persecution. And as we start this journey together, some will fall by the wayside. Many things will happen. But there's one thing, the Lord will never leave or forsake you, that we may boldly say that the Lord is with us. We'll not be afraid of what men will do. So are you still going to be singing the same song that you sang a long time ago? Will the Lord still find us to be joyful Christians in His household? Are we going to still continue to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ? Every hero that we have in the Bible, that is what they had in common. They all faced tremendous challenges, but they believed in the Lord. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. You see the expression of Cain that Abel had there. When he thought nobody, he and Cain and Abel, when they thought nobody was watching, faith was in operation. In everything we do, the way we conduct our businesses, the way we speak, faith is in operation. The test of faith can be seen in it. When they were making these sacrifices, they did not know anybody was watching them. Faith made one of them make an excellent sacrifice. Another one made a careless sacrifice. In the things we say, in the way we act, there's faith in operation. When we're in trouble, the words that we utter, they are either words of faith or they are words of doubt. There are words that either express that we believe there's a deliverer, or words that express that we really don't believe there's a deliverer. I guess thousands of years later, this writer was observing the faith that was at work in Abel that Cain did not have. If Cain truly believed there was a living God of his father called Adam who spoke with his father in the Garden of Eden, he would have made a more excellent sacrifice as well. I don't know, but I think Cain probably just believed there's a God there. And I pray that our faith, our Christian work has not come to a place where we just think there must be a God there. Because that's when we will offer ministries with our faith. One brother believed in the person that he has not seen. The other one believed in the person that his father talked about. So when it was time for offering, when it was time for sacrifice, one acted like they really believed because they did. The other one just grabbed, okay, it's sacrifice time, just grabbed something that was not worthy of the God that he professed. In everything we do, let's do it in faith. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We all know who Enoch was, a great prophet of the Lord, right? In his time. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Another scripture was Paul, I think, charging the Ephesians or the Galatians, talked about the double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. That if we are praying and we really don't know, believe that God will give us, then it's no use. Because he that is double-minded is like the wind that is tossed. And such a man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Must believe he is, as a rewarder of those who diligently seek. So do not be tired. Let's continue to testify about Jesus. Very, very few people. You see, we live in a very dangerous... Look, we live in America where there are alternatives. And thank God, at times God gives us problems that have no alternatives to build our faith. There are times when you can get tired of the Christian method and you start using the worldly method. Saul was tired of waiting for Samuel, of the regulation, of the prescription. And he decided to make the sacrifice before Samuel came. I had a justification. He said the problem, the noise of battle, the people were afraid. This just had to be done. So I decided to do it. But that wasn't a good enough excuse. The Lord said to obey is better than sacrifice and to listen is better than the fatness of ram. Use God's method. Like the three Hebrew boys, they said, look, our God is able to deliver, but even if we will not, we are not going to disobey the Lord. That is faith. I think they talked about them here. Let's encourage one another. Don't let's hear whispers of worldliness in the midst of the church. Let's hear words of prayer. Let's hear words of deliverance so that there will be testimony of great deliverances amidst us. Let us continue to believe in the Lord, no matter how. Though he bruises me, yet will I trust him, Job said. And then, when the story of Job was retold by James, he said we should remember how his latter end was better than the former. The end of a man of faith is always a wonderful testimony. Those who did not follow the story of Jesus to the end only saw his crucifixion. They were not there for his ascension when he was received into glory. We all, in this little seed, the Bible says it's like a mustard seed that's in us, but it will grow up to be the biggest tree. This little confession of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have, we bring to us a great weight of glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's not give up. Let's not get tired. Let's not get practical. Please, don't be practical. Be faithful. If we want to be practical, we may as well disband the church. Because there are great speeches, there are great motivational speeches that we work that we can attend. We can retire all the ministers and put in nice, practical people from Harvard and Yale. They will tell you how life works. But we're seeking a kingdom that is to come. Without faith, it's impossible. If you're tired of reading that Bible, please go back to it. The word of God never fails. Always remember that Jesus said, a lot of people will fall by the wayside. When you see yourself being faithful, I want you to be honest with yourself and say, hey, am I one of the first that will be the last? No, I don't want to be. But we will be those who we endure to the salvation of our souls in Jesus' name. Faith. We're living in a time when there's plenty of slumber, but please do not let us slumber. Let's continue to be faithful. I choose the method of prayer. I choose prayer. I choose God's blessing rather than networking and connection. Because in the process of networking and connection, your leg may become entangled. I choose. I believe in God who says he will help me. I choose to believe in God who says he will lift me up. I choose to believe in God who reduces an army from 3,000 to 300 to prove a point. I choose to walk through the door he opens, no matter how wide the world opens it for me. I deny their methods. I do not, like that king, like Abraham, I do not want Satan to say he made me in America. I choose to believe against belief. I choose. If I'll be poor, I will rather believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in him. I believe what he has said he will do. I choose. It's a choice. I choose not to speak like them. I choose not to act like them. I choose not to trust in them. I choose to be exactly the same Christian that I was before I came to this country. They are telling me it's impossible. And they are showing me why. They are showing me how the grass is greener on the other side. They are showing us how the world does it. And they are asking us that not to abandon faith, but we should just mix it with wisdom. I said, Satan did not tell the Lord Jesus Christ to abandon his mission. He just told him to bow to him. He's had a choice. Very few people will make that choice. The Bible says he took him to the top of the temple and he showed him the glories of the world. Here's a man who just fasted. Showed him a little bread. Eat. I choose. Let us choose this. When we came to Jesus, we chose that he chose us to be his children. Say, we never leave you nor abandon you. That you may boldly say, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid of what any man will do to me. Faith. I mean, as we read down, I don't want to keep us. But this to, from Genesis to Revelation, if we look past the headline, you know, this is the testimony. And guess what? Even though we may not understand it, it's the testimony that God is forcing each one of you to live as well. I always say, you don't pick your trials. Your trials pick you. Why do they keep picking you? God seems to be forming each one of you in a specific, you know, forging something. Have you ever wondered why it's always Christians that challenging things happen to? When you hear the stories of others, it's how they have sailed and soared and they add one and one and it becomes two. A Christian adds one and one and it's always less by a quarter of an inch. Same thing for Abraham. Same thing for Job. And the testimonies are in this Hebrews 11. How many born again people are in Fortune 500? Forbes list of 400. Name, how many? There are a few. I don't know. Did Hobby Lobby make Forbes? I don't think so. Did Chick-fil-A make Forbes? No. Forbes? No. Yeah. How come? Then we can say, where then, Lord, is the prosperity of which you speak? When I signed up, things were supposed to be easier. But look at this. Look at this, Hebrews 11. Abel, faithful, ends up being killed. And yet his blood spoke. His blood spoke. The blood of the faithful. Abraham did not inherit anything. Yet he was the father of many nations. You and I know how many sons he had. And the world made fun of him, I'm sure. When you left, they said you were going to be the father of many nations and we give you a land. When he sent his son back to get a wife, how about the many nations now? You couldn't get a wife there. I pray that we'll keep our eyes on Canaan. This is the hope of a Christian. This, for the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus Christ, he endured that cross and the shame. I wish there were easier promises. There's none. But this promise is so precious, we ought to encourage one another. Please give one another no less encouragement than this. Because every encouragement that is less than this does not help our faith. And I mean, we can close the service, but there are just so many. Abraham 9, verse 9. He dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I think it's in Hebrews 13 that scripture says, for here we have no contingency. The same thing that is true of Abraham is also true of us in figure. We are waiting for a city. The Bible says, was it in this here? It says, Esau was the one that sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. I pray, Lord, that for a patch of meat, for an appointment somewhere, for promotion, that we will not sell our birthright in Jesus' name. This America is dangerous, my brethren. You look at China, you look at all these countries and you pity them. Whereas in there, even the environment encourages them to be true Christians. You can't be a fake Christian in most of those places. But here, before you know it, you have sold your birthright. The man was hungry. He had been working all day. He came back hungry. And someone offered him venison. I said, what is birthright when I'm always dying of hunger? Okay, give me your birthright. Give me the pepper soup. I will take your birthright. The Bible says he sought it even with tears and he could not have it. Our story will not be like that. We have a promise of an inheritance in Jesus Christ. There's nobody on earth, nobody in Silicon Valley, nobody in the citadels of learning in this country. There's nobody on earth, no king, nobody in Buckingham Palace, whatever palace is, that is as fortunate as every one of us who have received the promise of salvation in Christ Jesus. Nobody. Satan will give anything to take it from us. That is what we're defending. If only we can finish our course, we can run our race. Lazarus ran it, and he was a beggar at the tail end. But when the rich man looked at him, he admired him. Oh, if only we can see what Jesus has promised. Let us, the Bible says, encourage yourselves with these words. When we came around as a church, we did not come around simply so we can help each other to network and everybody will be professionally okay. Look, you people can make better associations at your workplaces that will address those needs in your lives. What binds us together is the fortune of our Lord Jesus, that precious thing that he has promised us, which the Bible says we should take care so that no man takes away from us. What binds us together are things that we can sell our professions for. The Bible says that a man who finds the kingdom is like a man, a jury, a treasure hunter who goes forth and finds a precious pearl. And he goes back home and is ready to sell. I use ready to sell. The Lord said sold. But because in our cases, we are figuratively The right interpretation of that in our lives is that our mindset is that we're ready to give away anything. In fact, we've already given away everything in our heart, but we're not going to give away our fortune in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. We can say to Satan, you can have that job. We can say to Satan, you can have whatever it is that you're torturing me with. As for me and my household, we serve the Lord. Faith. Let's encourage one another in faith. Faith is what makes a Christian able to rejoice in death. Because we have that hope that the world does not have. I'll close with 2-3 more examples from Hebrews. I just want to encourage, please, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. That's Romans 9:17, 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. 10:17. That's why I'm speaking the word of God to us tonight, but this afternoon, mid-morning. May the Lord help us. Can he, I speak tenderly. Sister Jackie, grandma. This thing, you will not have faith by listening to CNN. Huh? You will not have faith by reading Time magazine. You are not likely going to have faith in your professional seminars. There is a reason, there is a function for those in our lives. It can only come when we encourage one another by the word of God. Nobody, and the Sekupa will not remind us of the story of Abel. He will remind us of the shooter. He will remind us of those. They will never let us forget what Trump did. They will never let us forget what Obama did. They will never, but they will not once tell us about what Peter, what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Yet, faith only comes by us teaching one another God's word. Saints, when we meet, let's bring a scripture. Let's bring a scripture. Let's encourage one another with scriptures, with the word of God. The word of your comfort can do nothing for me, but the comfort of the Lord will do all things. That's in mind. When we see grandma, let a scripture come into our hearts. When we see Mommy Ali, let a scripture. Let's practice this. When we're discussing issues, let's look into it, because faith comes by hearing. There's nothing, no temptation that's befalling us, such as is not common to man, but God is faithful. He will make a way of escape with every temptation. It talks about Sarah who received strength to bear. Verse 13 said, they all died in faith, not having received the promises. And that's so important, brethren. That is so important. This world is not my home. I'm just... Was that Jim Reeves? That was Jim Reeves. Was he a Christian? He was. Okay, so it's okay. You say, This world is not our... Whether we like it or not, it's not our home. That's why you're never going to be the most prosperous doctor in this world. It's not going to happen. Because Satan will reward his own. God will make a way for us, but Satan will reward his own. No matter how smart you are, he's reserving the glory for his own, but your day will come. Stock. See, you're seeing what I'm saying. Fola Shade. Here you're seeing. Those who don't know Jesus, customer, because they are walking in their natural territory. You are just... I didn't send me that in church. Do these people look like millionaires who can make you? Their treasures are in heaven. They already invested it. The treasure you're asking for is invested already. Sorry, but you will make it. You will eat. You will prosper in Jesus' name because God will make a way. He will always. You will never be frustrated. Let's just trust in the Lord. They, 11, died in faith and yet they had not received the promise. Although faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, they died in faith, not having received. Did Abraham receive the land promised? Was Sarah the mother of many nations when she died? But today she is. It's the same for you and I. It's the same. Oh, the joy of angels when a saint is received into glory. May that day meet us in Christ in Jesus' name. May the day of consolation, I pray God will give us the courage to walk this walk in the name of Jesus. May God grant all of us courage to walk faithfully with him, to carry our burden till we see Jesus. The Lord said we must daily deny ourselves, pick up our burdens and follow him. May the Lord help us. And though we die, we will live. They all died in faith. I mean, I don't want to go into what people teach about faith, but this flies in the face of what people teach. That if you can only believe it, obviously it's a separate kind of faith from what the Bible teaches. Faith is a condition of the heart towards God. It believes God. Faith does not end at the grave. It transcends it. What Jesus is giving to us is higher than life. It's higher than the body. It's higher than health. That was why he gave up his life. He gave up his health. He gave up everything that we may have it. May the Lord give us courage. For those who say such things, wait, he said, they all died in faith, 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Do you see heaven afar off? Is your gaze still fixed on heaven? Is heaven a reality? Is Jesus a reality still? Do you still long for the rest, for the marriage feast of the Lamb? Are you ready? Is your ashwebi ready? Is your garment soiled? Are you ready? Do you have the right garments on? Let's always be ready. Let's encourage one another. Let's not speak about heaven like it's not real to us. But these people embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. I pray that our conduct will show that we are not permanent residents of earth in Jesus' name. When I see Christians claiming their rights as though our world, this current world is our world, we start fighting with people over materials, over cars, over politics. We are dwelling with people, tussling with them. But these fathers of faith, mothers of faith were not like that. Said, Abraham pitched a tent because he considered himself a temporary resident. We are not permanent residents of these nations and we are not citizens. Whether it's Nigeria or America or Sierra Leone, or Guyana, grandma, our citizenship is in heaven. Those passports, we can't hold on to them. And the attitude that we should have as Christians is that we're going home. We're going higher, yes we are. We are going higher someday. We're going higher, yes we are. Going with Jesus to stay. We're going above the shadows into the presence of God, into the presence of Jesus. We're going higher someday. Let's remind ourselves. Do not be tired. Do not be discouraged. I mean, please read Hebrews 11. Abraham's faith was so strong. He was ready to give his son, his children. Now I find Christians giving their children as excuses not to be faithful to the Lord. Know me one of those Christians that if your conviction is that you should be in the worship place on Sundays, as God permits, and then you deliberately schedule, not that you are forced though, you deliberately schedule the game for Sundays, let me tell you the truth. You are giving up and you don't know. What will you stand your ground on? In Florida, they will say, stand your ground. If this is your territory, stand your ground. Then we say, because we want them to go to Ivy Leagues, and unless they have games, schedule it on your work day. The only hour that you have reserved, and you made a covenant that you will join in the assembly of the, not forced, just willingly. I mean, I can understand when things come up once in a while. But if God gave you 8 children, you can just find out that you have scheduled away. One is going to badminton, another one is going to tennis. We read, there was a story of a Christian man who refused to run the Olympics because it was scheduled on a Sunday. I'm not saying it's a rule for everybody, but till today, of all the things he did, that has been a testimony in Christianity. We have, what I'm just saying is, if we don't stand our ground, it will keep shifting. Satan will keep shifting it. And before you know it, we are all over the place as Christians. Are there things we refuse to do? It's hard. But I've heard of people that God created scholarships for their children. Just like that. Lots of testimonies. I have a missionary friend today. The husband has not worked for years because he doesn't. His wife is there to study theology. So he has the spousal wife visa. And being missionary, they weren't going to work without that. They have 3 boys. The wife also being a student, collects stipends as a student. And they were so worried. I spoke with the wife and the husband as the eldest child was preparing. They have 2 kids in college, really great colleges too. Scholarship paid off. I'm not saying that it's that easy, but I'm saying God does reward faithfulness. Let the ground not keep shifting. Grace, faith demands that you take a stand for your Lord. There are just some things you say, I can't do. We say we're not persecuted. Well, we're not persecuted because we're not taking any stand. Only people who are taking a stand experience persecution. If we're not talking about Jesus, who will abuse us for being Jesus, for being like Jesus? Is it easy? No. But there are times in my life when I pray for a Christian brother where all you need is just someone saying, don't do it. That's all you need. Because we can't do it. Or see how Satan separated, if not for Jesus, separated Jesus for temptation at his weakest moment. But we have to be this voice to one another. Mm-mm. It's not in the tradition of our country to do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let's encourage. What God is waiting for us to be the voice of encouragement to one another. When Christians start standing up, then the glory and the revival that we're praying for, we start seeing it. They saw it afar off. Abraham and the word of Christ was ready to sacrifice Isaac. That's faith at work. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons. Let me talk about Jacob. He was supposed to be the son of promise. And you think this boy, Abraham was rich. So I would assume Jacob was rich. And of course, from we read his personal story as well. So he had 12 sons, loved tremendously, especially 2 of them. And at the point of his death, it's amazing to me that he was not talking about his living will. Okay, you know that patch of land in Shechem, I'd like you to divide it between your brothers. That he was talking about things to come, blessing them. That's the mindset of Christians. I pray that our subconscious mindset will always be heaven and the things to come. May the Lord give us strength. These things, they are not by power or by might, but they are the truth of God's word. By the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to shift our mindset and live in hope and in faith and conquer by faith in Jesus' name. And so I'm not going to hold us up anymore. The whole chapter is filled with testimonies. The detail of the lives of people that we read about. In this America, May the Lord give us the courage to live as people of faith. Please don't be discouraged. We started this sermon by saying, don't count it strange. Don't give up on the methods. Don't take that shortcut that Satan is giving us. God never changes. He will do it. He's not, in Numbers 23, he said, it's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should go back on his words. If he has said it, he will do it. When he promises it, he brings it to pass. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in the Father also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and I go and I prepare a place for you. The righteous will never be forsaken, forgotten. Their sons will not beg bread. The Lord himself will be our real light. He will be with us. He will guide us. He will shelter us. This is why you ought to pray and not to faint. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again. Help us, Father. This morning, I pray for courage. Many times, it's not because we do not know these things. But in the reality of what we face every day, we are constantly tempted, Father, to relent in faith. Please help us, Lord. Help us, Father, to walk by faith, continue to believe in you. Your word says, behold, you will send the Holy Spirit that will bring to our remembrance everything that you have spoken to us. Help us to remember. I pray for courage to stand with the word of God every time. I pray that our personal testimonies will be, Lord, that we overcome by the word of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimonies. Give us this grace, Father, to be light in America. There are so many temptations, so many. Satan just goes about threatening poverty, threatening all kinds of things. Father, I pray, God, that we will all see your power in our individual lives in Jesus' name. Give testimony to this church. I pray there will be times of boldness when people will come forth and tell of your power in the name of Jesus. We all ask, oh God, that your grace will be upon us, Lord. As we go into the week, Lord, please make a way for us in our workplaces. The battle is always yours, Father. Fight for us, God. Let our hearts not be afraid. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.